Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve. The Kraft Cheese Company, who also bring you Bing Crosby every Thursday night, present each week at this time The Great Gildersleeve, written by John Wheaton and Sam Moore. We'll hear from the Great Gildersleeve in just a moment. Fortunately, America has the biggest open bread box in this world at war. Thanks to the energy and productivity of our American farmers, the bread we eat and the flour you women use in baking are not rationed. However, so that all may share and share alike, it has been necessary to ration most spreads. Spreads that contribute to our enjoyment of bread, muffins, pancakes, and waffles, for instance. And I'm happy to report that parquet margarine, the delicious quality spread made by Kraft, still requires only 4 ration points a pound. That is good news, because parquet's delicate, satisfying flavor enables you to thoroughly enjoy foods that are still plentiful, foods we all like. And since parquet margarine is one of the best energy foods you can serve your family, and since each pound of parquet contains 9,000 units of vitamin A, your family can keep right on having parquet margarine's high food value, too. So tomorrow, be sure to ask your dealer for delicious, nourishing parquet. P-A-R-K-A-Y, parquet margarine, made by Kraft. Now, what of the Great Gildersleeve? We find his massively upholstered frame beneath the covers of his bed. But though it's 2 a.m., he's not slumbering peacefully. He rolls heavily from side to side. He kicks occasionally, and over and anon there issues from his throat a smothered cry of anguish. The fact is, he doesn't feel very well.
Where's that light? I've never felt like this before. Marjorie! Leroy! Help!
Uncle Mort, what's the matter?
Hey, what's going on? Burglars?
I don't feel well. Possibly my heart.
Oh, Uncle Mort, we must call Dr. Pettibone right away.
Gosh, in the middle of the night?
Certainly. Get him on the phone, will you, Marjorie?
Right away. Where do you feel the pain?
Well, sort of here, on my left side, if I...
Oh, you poor darling. Oh, hello, Dr. Pettibone? I'm calling for Mr. Gildersleeve. I'm his niece. Yes, well, could you come over right away, please? My uncle seems to be having some kind of an attack. He thinks it's his heart. Well, I don't think you ought to wait till morning.
Till morning? Give me that phone, Marjorie.
Now, Uncle Mort, don't get excited. He says your heart is all right.
How can he tell from where he is? Give me that phone.
All right, but do try to keep calm.
I'll keep calm, don't worry. Pettibone, put your clothes on and get over here fast.
That's telling him, huh?
I don't care how many times you've examined me. I'm a sick man now, and I can prove it. My left side. No, it's not my stomach. It's my heart, you idiot. Hustle over here. Not tomorrow, now. I want... Why, you...
What did he say?
He hung up.
I don't understand Dr. Pettibone at all. Doesn't he realize this is serious?
He says it isn't. That's the trouble with Pettibone. Been around so long, he thinks he can tell all about you without even looking. He's still practicing horse and buggy medicine.
You're right, Uncle Mort. I think we should call another doctor.
That's a good idea. Who could we get?
Well, there's this new doctor in town, a Dr. Hargrave.
Who's he?
He just came out here from some big hospital in the East. They say he has all the latest equipment and everything. Very scientific.
I don't want him.
But why not?
I don't want a new doctor.
But you just said Dr. Pettibone was no good. What have you got against Dr. Hargrave?
I don't like his name.
Oh, now, Uncle Mort, you're being silly. This is an emergency. Please let me call him.
No, confound it. Pettibone brought me into this world, and he can take me out. Say, how long does Pettibone think he can keep me waiting?
We have to wait our turn, Uncle Mort. There was another patient ahead of you.
I could be dying out here, and he'd never know it. Serve him right. Get his license taken away from him. Get him run out of town.
Unky, sit down, will you? Stop fidgeting.
Who's fidgeting? Oh, doctor.
Right with you, Gildersleeve. Well, Mrs. Benson, if you keep on improving at this rate, I'm going to lose a good patient.
Thank you, Doctor. Friday as usual?
Yes, Friday as usual. But you're coming along. Keep on like this, and you'll soon be as frisky as a billy goat. Sad case. Very sad. She comes in here every week, and I give her these treatments, but it's just a question of time.
But you just told her she was going to be as frisky as a billy goat.
I just tell her that to keep her spirits up, but I'm not fooling her. She knows as well as I do. Well, Marjorie, how's the girl?
I'm fine, thank you, Dr. Pettibone.
And how's that rambunctious kid brother of yours?
Oh, he's fine. They're both fine. I'm the one that's sick.
You? What's the matter with you? You look healthy enough.
Well, I tell you, if you don't mind, Doctor, I'd rather discuss this with you privately.
All right. Just step inside here.
You just wait here, my dear, and don't worry. There's not a thing to worry about.
I'm not worried.
I'll be right back. Don't worry now. I just didn't want to alarm Marjorie. No use getting her upset, too.
Sit down. Now, what's wrong?
I'm afraid it's the old ticker, Doc. I woke up last night.
Nonsense. You've got a heart like a bull and the constitution of a horse. Have you been eating anything unusual lately?
No. That is, well, no.
Well, we'll have a look at you. What are you sticking your tongue out for?
Don't you want to look at it?
I'd rather not. Lie down.
Hey!
Lie still.
Well, you tickle.
That hurt?
There's nothing wrong with my appendix, if that's what you're hinting at.
Just wanted to make sure.
Listen, I told you, it's my heart. And you'll do me a favor if you'll get out your stethoscope and listen to it.
Well, we charge extra for that, you know. However, if you insist, unbutton your shirt. Now...
It's cold.
Be still.
Doc, why do you look that way? What is it, Doc?
Just as I thought.
Doc, what is it? What is it?
All right, Gildersleeve, you can button up your shirt and put your coat on.
Doc, what did you find? What are you going to do now, Doc?
Just write out a prescription here.
Listen, tell me, Doc. I want to know the worst.
There you are. Just take that and get it filled at the drugstore. May help, it may not.
Doctor, listen. I want you to be frank with me.
All right, I'll be frank with you. You've got a bad case of cardialgia.
Cardialgia? What's that?
It's a technical term. There's no use going into it, but it may turn out to be nothing. You're probably going to be all right.
You're just saying that.
No, I'm not. But I'm serious when I say cut out the sweets and cut down on those cigars. And remember, you're no chicken anymore, so take it a little easy.
Doctor, just tell me one thing.
What's that?
How much longer have I got?
Oh, you'll probably live to be 100. Now get out of here and send Marjorie in for a minute, will you?
What for?
None of your business. I'd just like to have a little talk with her, that's all.
Listen, Doc, anything you say to her, you can say to me.
Well, Marjorie, would you come in here for a minute?
Certainly, Doctor.
Gosh, cardialgia.
Now, Mr. Gildersleeve, if we can trouble you to step out for a minute.
Now listen, Doc, you're not fooling me.
Outside, man, outside. This is just between Marjorie and me.
Dr. Pettibone, it's nothing serious.
Nonsense. It's 9/10 imagination and 1/10 eating too much.
Thank goodness.
I told him a year ago to cut out sweets, and he hasn't done it, has he?
Well, no. I wouldn't say he had.
Then you and I have got to cook up a little conspiracy here. You've got to see that he doesn't get any.
Well, that isn't going to be easy. Maybe if he sort of tapered off...
Taper nothing. Cut it out. Just see that he doesn't get any. I've tried to throw a little scare into him, so he may be more cooperative.
All right, I'll try.
Good girl. I've told him to cut down on the cigars, too. You might keep an eye on that.
What did he say, Marjorie? What did the doctor say?
He said you have nothing to worry about. You're going to be perfectly fine.
You, too. Why will nobody tell me?
Don't be a fool, Gildersleeve. Just do what I tell you, and in no time at all, you'll be as frisky as a billy goat.
Now, you're sure you wouldn't be more comfortable in bed, Uncle Mort?
No, my dear. I'd much rather be down here. At a time like this, a man wants to be near his loved ones, not shut off in a sick room.
Oh, you're not so sick. Aren't you going to the football game this afternoon with Mrs. Ransom?
Football? That's out of the question. Much too exciting. I expect Leela and I will just spend the afternoon quietly here.
Oh, well, I've got to go out for a while, unless there's something else I can do for you.
I'll be all right. Run along and have your fun, Marjorie. Leroy will take care of my little requirements. Won't you, Leroy? Won't you, Leroy?
Huh?
I said you'll be glad to do anything for me if I need it.
Oh, sure.
All right, Unky. But remember now, be good.
I will.
Leroy? Where's that Oh, there you are. Leroy, what do you mean, stealing them 6 lemon tarts I made yesterday?
I don't know what you're talking about. I never even saw your old tarts.
Oh, Leroy.
Wait a minute, Bertie. It's just possible I ate those tarts.
What do you mean it's possible, Mr. Gillsleeve?
Yes, I'd like to hear this too.
Well, naturally, I don't remember events last night very clearly, what with the pain and all. But it seems to me I got hungry around 11:30 and went down to the kitchen. And, as I say, it's possible I ate 1 or 2 of those tarts.
Mr. Gillsleeve, it's a fact. You ate 6.
Oh, Uncle Mort!
Well, do you expect me to keep count of every mouthful I eat? I'm not an adding machine, you know.
No, sir, you're an eating machine. I never saw a man like him. No, sir.
Bertie, for lunch he gets nothing but milk toast.
Hey. Me. Little Leroy, learning a new piece. Well, well. Life goes on. Leroy. 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 Don't make me call you twice, Leroy. I mustn't get excited.
Well, gosh, what's the matter?
Nothing. I just wanted to tell you how glad I am to hear you practicing a new piece. Practice. That's what makes a musician.
Yeah, I guess so.
You must think of each new note as another milestone, another obstacle to overcome and striving toward your distant goal.
Okay.
Yes, someday you may hope to find yourself seated on the stage of a great concert hall. The seats filled with an audience of distinguished men and women who have come to hear you play. I'm afraid I won't be there to hear you, my boy, but I'll be with you in spirit as you lift your hands above the keyboard. Leroy, that is not the piece you'll play in Carnegie Hall.
It's the only piece I know clear through.
Yoo-hoo, Throckmorton.
Hello, Leela. Go out and play, Leroy.
Okay. Hello, Mrs. Ransom. Goodbye, Mrs. Ransom.
Hello, Leroy. Hello, Throckmorton. Mercy, what are you doing all bundled up like a sick man?
Well, Leela, I don't feel any too good. Sit down here beside me. I want to tell you...
Oh, Throckmorton, I couldn't possibly stay right now. I just came over to tell you some wonderful news.
Oh?
One of my cousins is in town for the day and wants to go to the football game with us.
Oh. Well, about the football game...
So I thought you ought to get busy right away and try to get hold of another ticket.
Leela, I'm sorry, but I won't be able to go to the football game.
Oh, Throckmorton, my cousin will be so disappointed. We were counting on going with you.
Well, I shouldn't stand in the way of anybody's good time, I suppose. Here are the tickets. Go on to the game and don't worry about me.
Oh, honey, you're sure you won't mind?
Oh, no.
You are a sweet lamb, Throckmorton, and I wouldn't think of leaving you if it wasn't for my cousin.
Well, I hope she enjoys the game.
Oh, I'm sure he will.
He? Who is this cousin, Leela?
My cousin Stuart Cable.
I've never heard you speak of him before. Is he a first cousin?
Well, not exactly. I don't know just where he fits into the family tree. I've just always thought of him as one of my kissing cousins.
What?
Oh, that doesn't mean anything, silly. I've got to run. Take good care of your cold now, Throckmorton, you hear?
It's not a cold.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. There have been a lot of colds going around. Goodbye.
But Leela... By George, women are all alike. Leave you alone to die like a dog. Ask for a little sympathy and what do you get? A kissing cousin. Well, I know where I can get a little sympathy, and she's no cousin either.
The Great Gildersleeve will be with us again in just a few seconds. Frequently, when talking about parquet margarine, the delicious quality spread for bread, you've heard me make this statement. Parquet margarine bears the seal of acceptance of the Council on Foods and Nutrition of the American Medical Association. Now, I'd like to tell you what that seal means to you. It means the Council accepts parquet margarine as a wholesome product. It means parquet complies with requirements the Council has prescribed for ingredients and nutritional value. And it means that the Council accepts parquet's labeling and advertising claims as proper and truthful. For instance, when I say parquet is one of the best of energy foods, when I say each pound of parquet contains 9,000 units of vitamin A, or when I say parquet is made of quality ingredients, every single statement has the Council's acceptance. Of course, the Council doesn't pass on flavor, but your own good taste will tell you parquet is a delicious, satisfying spread for bread. So tomorrow, buy parquet. P-A-R-K-A-Y. Parquet margarine, made by Kraft. Now, let's hurry back to the Great Gildersleeve. He has dispatched Leroy with a note to a certain lady, and now, with hope stirring once more, he has decided to give Dr. Pettibone's prescription a trial. So we find him at the drugstore in conference with Mr. Peavy.
Mr. Gildersleeve, do you want to wait for this prescription, or shall I send it over?
How long will it take to make it up?
Oh, I can have it for you in a jiffy. There's nothing to it.
What do you mean there's nothing to it?
It's a standard remedy. Very simple. Nothing at all, really.
Just as I thought. Peavy, tell me, will that prescription do anybody any good?
Well, that depends, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Come clean, now tell me. That prescription is just something doctors use to fool people, isn't it?
Well, no, I wouldn't say that.
All right, tell me this. You can't cure a heart condition with pills, can you?
Mr. Gildersleeve, I'm not a physician. I'm a pharmacist.
I know, but off the record, Peavy.
Off the record, I should be inclined to say that would be doubtful. I'll have this for you in just a minute.
Tell me something else, Peavy. What do you think of Doc Pettibone?
Dr. Pettibone? An excellent man.
Yes, but does he know anything? Does he know his business?
Oh, an excellent man, Dr. Pettibone.
Peavy, I'm asking you to be honest with me. It's a matter of life and death. What do you really think of Pettibone?
Well, if you want my frank opinion...
I do.
I think he's excellent.
Oh, you druggist, you're all alike. Nobody can get a straight answer out of you any more than the doctors. If you want to know, I think you're all in cahoots.
Well, now, I wouldn't say that. We pharmacists have our ethics, just like the doctors.
Well, I'll tell you what I think of Pettibone. I think he's old-fashioned. I don't think he's cracked a medical book in 20 years. Why, he doesn't even read time. How can he keep up with medical science? Progress. That's what we've got to keep up with, Peavy. Progress.
Yes, sir. Here's your prescription. That'll be 78 cents.
It's robbery. 78 cents for a little powdered sugar.
You take a teaspoonful and a little... Well, it says about it there on the label.
Much good it'll do me. Say, Peavy.
Yes?
What about this new doctor that's moved into town here?
Dr. Hargrave?
Yes. How about him?
Excellent man. Excellent.
Do you know him?
No, I haven't had the pleasure yet.
Then how do you know he's excellent?
Well, I can say one thing for him. He writes a nice prescription.
He does, huh?
Yes, nice, legible hand.
You know, I've got half a mind to switch. Yes, by George, I'll give Pettibone one more chance. If he doesn't pull me through, Hargrave gets the business.
How you feeling now, Mr. Gildersleeve? A little better?
I wouldn't say so, Bertie. No. But I suppose the nap did me good.
Like to move over by the fire?
Yes. I think I might try setting up for a little.
Wish that old painter would finish up in your bedroom so I could move you up there and make you comfortable.
It doesn't matter, Bertie. Nothing matters much anymore.
Oh, Mr. Gildersleeve, I hate to hear you talk like that. Here. I brought you a blanket to wrap around your knees.
Good old Bertie. Bertie, I wonder if I could ask a great favor of you.
Sure, Mr. Gildersleeve. What is it?
Well, is Marjorie around?
No, sir. She went out.
Good. I wonder if you could get together a few little things for tea. I'd like it to be real nice. You know, some little cupcakes maybe and things.
Well, I don't know, Mr. Gillsleeve. We got the tea, but I don't know about them other things. Miss Marjorie told me the doctor said you wasn't to have none.
They're all against me, Bertie. You're my only friend. You wouldn't deprive me of a few simple pleasures in these last few days, would you?
Mr. Gillsleeve, what you talking about?
Yes, Bertie, you might as well know it. I may not be around much longer.
Oh, Mr. Gillsleeve!
Yes, the old ticker. It's begun to run down, I'm afraid.
Oh, don't say that, Mr. Gillsleeve. Don't say that.
Now, Bertie, we must be brave. Bertie. Bertie, don't. I didn't mean for you to take it like that, Bertie. Bertie, cut it out.
Yes, sir.
You'll rouse the whole neighborhood.
Well, I'm going to pray for you, Mr. Gillsleeve. I'm going to pray for you morning, noon, and night. And all day Sunday.
Thank you, Bertie. And if you could just find the time this afternoon to work in a few cupcakes.
Mr. Gillsleeve, I'm going to bake you the finest cupcakes you ever tasted. I don't care what they say. No, sir, not me. Ain't going to tell me I can't cook for a man when he's sick.
With a little chocolate frosting on them, Bertie?
With chocolate frosting all over them. I'm going to blow all the chocolate we got.
The door, Bertie.
I'll get it.
Mr. Gildersleeve in, Bertie?
Yes, Judge. You'll find him sitting by the fire.
What's the matter with her? And what's the matter with you?
Sit down, Horace. You'll pardon me if I don't get up.
Well, I wouldn't know what to think if you did.
Nobody knows the trouble I've seen.
Say, what is this? Somebody dead?
No, you old goat.
Well, pardon me.
If you had any decent human feelings, you wouldn't come busting in here with talk like that.
Well, I'm sorry if I said anything, Throckmorton. Sorry, old man. Sorry.
Well, I guess I spoke a little hastily there. It's just that I had a little bad news this morning, Horace.
Oh, that's too bad. Someone near or dear to you?
Yes, in a way. That's why I asked you to come over, Judge. I'd like to go over my will with you for the last time.
Your will? Throckmorton, you don't mean. You're not trying to tell me that...
Yes, Horace.
That's the silliest thing I've ever heard.
Now, see here.
Sorry, Gildy. Sorry, old man.
Get out!
I said I was sorry, didn't I?
I don't care if you say it 50,000 times. Get out!
All right, Gildy, if that's the way you want it. Well, I'm sorry. Sorry this had to happen. Sorry.
Judge, what you been doing to Mr. Gillsleeve?
Not a thing, Bertie. Our friend seems to have lost his sense of humor, that's all.
Mr. Gillsleeve, what they been doing to you?
Bertie, I'm all alone. You're the only one now. Stick with me, Bertie.
I'm sticking.
My good and faithful servant. Yes, you never know who your real friends are till your time has come, and it's too late. Bertie, do I smell something cooking?
Cupcakes, Mr. Gillsleeve.
Cupcakes. Cupcakes for tea. And Miss Goodwin.
Miss Goodwin? You got a lady coming to tea?
Yes, Bertie.
Mr. Gillsleeve, you ain't as sick a man as I thought.
Bertie, while there's life, there's hope.
My, there's nothing like a nice fire in the fireplace, especially these nippy afternoons in fall.
I'm glad you like it, Miss Goodwin. I'm glad to see anybody happy now.
It's so cozy.
Yes.
I love to watch the dancing flames. They seem to make pictures every once in a while. Do you see pictures in the fire, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Well, sometimes I sort of imagine I do.
There. Just for a second, I thought I saw a knight in shining armor.
You did? I missed him.
Mr. Gildersleeve, you're worried about something, aren't you?
Well, I had a special reason for wanting to see you this afternoon.
Yes?
Oh, I don't know if I ought to tell you.
It often helps to talk about difficult things.
Yes. Well, Miss Goodwin. Miss Goodwin, what's your first name?
Why?
I can't say what I want to say to a stranger.
My name is Eve.
Eve. Eve, do you know my first name?
Is it Throckmorton?
Uh-huh.
What was it you were going to tell me, Throckmorton?
Well, there are things that can happen to a man to make him stop and think about things pretty seriously.
Yes, I'm sure there are.
Especially if he happens to meet somebody that...
Yes?
Oh, well, I don't suppose this certain somebody would care.
Oh, I think she would care a great deal.
Here's your tea, Mr. Gillsleeve.
Bertie, she's our cook. Practically one of the family.
You're very lucky.
Yes, sir. I don't know what we'd do without Bertie. Isn't that right, Bertie?
What's that, sir?
I was just telling Miss Goodwin our family couldn't get along without you.
That's a fact, Mr. Gillsleeve. I don't believe you could.
My, what a delicious-looking tray. Such beautiful cupcakes.
Well, thank you. If you need anything more, just holler, Mr. Gillsleeve.
I will, Bertie. Have a cupcake, Eve.
I don't believe I could right now, if you don't mind. I had a late lunch. Some tea for you?
Yes. And I think I'll just try one of these cupcakes.
Good.
Wonderful. Hardly more than a mouthful, though.
We'll have another.
Well, while I'm waiting for my tea to cool...
Oh, maybe I will try a little of the cinnamon toast.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Here.
Oh, that Bertie. Say, the tea is good, too.
Just perfect.
Tea for two and two for tea.
Oh, don't stop. You have a beautiful voice.
Oh, I used to sing a little.
You're fond of music. I might have known.
You too?
Oh, I think everyone should play an instrument. That's a lovely piano you have.
Will you play something for me?
I'll try.
Well, I'll just have another cupcake. They're so small.
Yes, do.
I might as well finish them up.
Oh, such a rich sound.
It's a Wembley. I used to sing that. It's one of my favorites.
Mine too.
Eve?
Yes, Throckmorton?
There's something I've got to tell you.
Yes?
I'm afraid I'm going away soon.
Not leaving Summerfield?
I'm afraid it's worse than that. I saw my doctor this morning. He didn't leave me much hope.
You mean he...
A few months, maybe. There's no telling.
Are you quite sure? Is there no chance at all?
Not a chance. This is a heart condition. Cardialgia.
Cardialgia? Oh, but cardialgia is nothing but indigestion.
What do you mean?
Cardialgia is the technical term for heartburn.
Are you sure?
My father was a doctor.
I'm not going to die?
Well, of course not.
I might live for years.
Of course you will.
Eve, you don't know what you've done for me.
Throckmorton.
Oh.
Oh, Throckmorton, what is it?
Those darn cupcakes. I've got heart trouble again.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Gildersleeve is feeling a little indisposed and asked me to say goodnight for him. Good night. Imagine spending just one single ration point and getting the main dish for two separate dinners. Well, it is possible. You ask your grocer for two packages of Kraft Dinner, the swell macaroni and cheese you cook in just 7 minutes flat, and I'll tell you how all this magic works. Each package of Kraft Dinner will give you enough macaroni and cheese for four good servings. And it's a very special kind of macaroni. Just in boiling water, it cooks fluffy and tender in a hurry. You drain the macaroni, and then you simply stir in cheese flavor. That you do with the Kraft grated, which comes in every Kraft Dinner box. All in all, you're at the stove just 7 minutes by the clock, and your hearty, delicious main dish is all ready. So get several packages of this time-saving, point-saving macaroni and cheese, have it on the pantry shelf for hurry-up meals or for that day when you somehow run out of points. Remember to ask for Kraft Dinner. Music heard on this program was directed by Claude Sweeten. This is Brian Hendrickson speaking for the Kraft Cheese Company and inviting you to listen in again next Sunday for the further adventures of the Great Gildersleeve.
This presentation of the Great Gildersleeve starred Lee Delaney as the Great Gildersleeve. Missy Cara played Leroy with Cindy Martin Asher as Marjorie. Lisette Ralph played Bertie. Stuart Talbert was Doc Pettibone. Pam Hungate was Leela Ransom and Janet Whitaker played Eve Goodwin. Nick Helton was the judge, and yours truly, Bob Hutchison, played Mr. Peavy. Also appearing, Marge Lutton. Additional music by Mary Moore Compagna. The production was directed by Mike Wheeler. This is Bob Hutchison inviting you to join us again next time for the further adventures of the Great Gildersleeve.